James chapter 4, we'll begin reading in verse 1 and read through verse 10. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain, ye fight and war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do ye think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted, and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Now, last week, talked about refocusing or focusing for the year of 2022. And I hope you've thought about this past week. I hope you've thought about that often. I hope that you have tried to zero in on things that you need to be refocused or focused a little more on. I hope that it strengthened your commitment. As I was thinking about things and studying this week, I thought, how in the world, what do we need to do? Folks, it's not complicated. You know, you look at the Old Testament and that was complicated. But grace and faith and hope, they're not complicated, though they may lead to complicated things. What I'm trying to say is, it's just like living your life. You know, I used to hear people say all the time, live for Jesus. And man, that sounded good, and we'd say amen, and I'd go out and try to live for Jesus, and I'd fall flat on my face every time. You know why? Because I was trying to do it myself. But when I came across the scripture that says, walk in the Spirit and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh, I realized I only had one focus. You see, if I try to live for Jesus, I got a whole bunch of don'ts. I can't do this, I can't do that, and I can't do this over here. And you see, it's just a big bunch of don'ts. And I got all these don'ts I have to remember. But under grace, the main thing I have to try to do is to walk in the Spirit. That's one thing. And if I'm focused on walking in the Spirit, my Bible says I won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. It didn't say I wouldn't have the lust of the flesh. It didn't say I wouldn't have temptations. It said I won't fulfill them. I won't follow through on them. So that simplified things. I didn't have a whole bunch of rules I had to remember. I had one I had to focus on. So as I thought about that, what's going to help us grow spiritually in 2022? What's going to help us so that we don't have a whole lot of things that we have to try to remember and write them all down? And folks, I think that one thing is to seek God. If you want revival, you go over to the book of 2 Chronicles. I didn't mark it, but let's just turn over there right quick. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. This is an answer to Solomon's prayer when he had prayed about the temple. He prayed, Lord, if the people stray, bring them back. I mean, he knew how people are. And God, in answer to his prayer, says, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Yeah, we've got to humble ourselves and we've got to pray, but that seeking my face, seeking the will of God, seeking to get closer to God, desiring to be more like the Lord. If we will concentrate on that one thing, I'm telling you that the rest of it will fall into place. Because our focus will be on Him. And that's where our focus should be in the first place. If it's on him, the Great Commission's going to take care of itself. If it's on him, everything else is going to take care of itself. So every day that we live in 2022, we need to be focusing on God. We need to desire or seek his will, to seek his face, to be more like him. If we do that, then we're not going to have to worry about a whole set of do's and don'ts. It's concentrating on him. And I want to tell you something. If you're concentrating on him, you will walk in the Spirit of the Lord. So when I look at these, in James chapter 4, we see a conflict that takes off in verse 1. What does he say? From whence comes wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lust that war in your members? Now if you read that and you're not thinking about it, you would think he's talking to people fighting among themselves. Well, what happens here can lead to that, but that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about the war that's taking place within yourself. You see, it's just like we heard in Sunday school class. Paul said, that which I do, would do, I do not, and that I wouldn't do, that's what I do. There was a war taking place in Paul's life every day that he lived. That same war takes place in us. And so we have a conflict with ourselves, and we have a conflict with God. You see, the self wants to be what it wants to be. And if you yield to your flesh, if you yield to your sin nature, you're definitely going to be in conflict with God. Because you're not going to be right with God. You're going to be on the wrong side of the fence, so to speak. Look in verse 2. We have this conflict because we lust or desire and have not. We kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. We fight and war, yet we have not because we ask not. Number one, we have this conflict with ourselves and with God because we have the wrong desires. Instead of looking for the spiritual things, we're always concentrating on the temporary things. Instead of feeding the spirit that we have indwelling us, instead of feeding the inner man, we're feeding the physical man. And all that does is cause a conflict. If you're saved, folks, if you are truly saved and you start living a carnal life, you're going to be a miserable individual. You know why? Because the Holy Spirit of God is not going to let you get by with it without conviction. The Bible says God chastens those whom he loves. Who does he love more than his own children? You're not going to sin and get by with it. There's always going to be that conflict when you have the wrong desires. What is it that, if we focus on God, folks, that's going to twist our desires around. Right now we have a bent towards sin. But when we focus on God, we can be bent the other direction, and that gives you the right desires. Notice something else it said here. You have not because you ask not. Prayer life suffers. How many of us pray for the wrong things? Look at verse 3. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your lusts. Our prayer life becomes bad because our prayer motives are bad. You see, we're all like, some of us are like big old babies, and all we want is to ask for stuff for ourselves. I want, I want, I want. Y'all remember when you took your kids or your young grandkids to some store, Walmart, let's say? What do they want? Everything they see. And what do they say? Mama, I want this. Daddy, I want this. Papa, can I have this? I mean, and you're constantly saying, no, you can't have it. No, it's too expensive. No, you don't need that. No, you've got one of those at home. It just wears you out. It gets you to a point where you don't even want to take them, right? I mean, be honest with yourself. You get to a point where you just say, I just want to go shopping by myself or with somebody else that's got their own money and buy what they want to, because I don't want to hear, I want this or can I have that. Well, I wonder if God ever gets tired of hearing his kids, and all they ever do is won't, 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 won't. Now, I bet every once in a while he'd just like to hear us go to him and just pray, Lord, I just want to say thank you for what you've let me have. I just want to praise you for who you are. And thank you for the health. I thank you that I've got a roof over my head and clothes on my back and shoes on my feet and food on my table. I thank you for those kids that keep asking for stuff and those grandkids that's all they do is want. I thank you for that. But he says here, you have your prayer life is bad because you got the wrong motives in your prayer life. In verse 4, what does he say? Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Now folks, he's talking to saved people here. We have conflict with God because of our carnality, worldliness. Folks, I'm going to say this, you've heard me say it before, but there is no such thing as a carnal Christian. I used to hear that a lot. You can't be carnal and Christian at the same time. You can be a carnal believer. You can be a worldly believer. But just because, you know, your inner man became like Christ when you were saved, but your outward man, it's got to be changed. It's got to be transformed with the renewing of your mind. You've got to have your whole attitude changed before people look at you and see a Christian. Christian means to be like Christ. You can't be like Christ and be like the world too. You're living in this world, but you don't have to act like the world. And look again, he says, you are adulterers or adulteresses. You see, the conflict with God is there because God is in conflict with this world system that's dominated by sin. God, it's a world system we're talking about. It's not the earth. It's not the ground on which you stand. It's the world system under which the whole world is living. It is a system that is dominated by Satan. And so he says, God has we've got a conflict with God if we're worldly because God has a conflict with his system. Therefore, he's in conflict with any who are friends with this world system. You can't, you know, that's what Jesus, I think, meant when he said, you can't serve God and mammon. You got to make a choice. The mammon there represents the money. That comes from a world system. He said, you've got to choose between mammon and God because there is a conflict between a world system. And he's saying there, that conflict is so bad that those who are friends with the world, those who are carnal in their thinking, are at such odds with God, he calls them adulterous. That means unfaithful. You know, I don't know about you, but I haven't been unfaithful to my wife, and it would kind of irritate me a little bit if somebody called me an adulterer. There might be fighting words. But you know what? If we've become friendly with the world, we can't argue with God there, can we? We become unfaithful. If we're friends with the world, we're not faithful to God. If we're faithful to God, we're not friends with the world. So he's saying, you've got a problem. We're unfaithful. Verse 5. Doesn't have to be that way. Do you think the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? Why do I say that verse says it doesn't have to be that way? Because, number one, if we're truly saved, we have the Holy Spirit of God indwelling us. The desire of the Holy Spirit is that we serve God, that we not live a worldly life, that we focus and seek the face of God and His kingdom and His righteousness, and we seek His will. That's what the Holy Spirit leads us to do. And it's like he's envious when the world wins out and a believer begins to act like the world and live like the world and talk like the world. The Holy Spirit who indwells us doesn't want us to be in this conflict. He doesn't want us to have confliction in our lives. Again, folks, people who try to straddle the fence are some of the most miserable people in the world. A carnal believer is a miserable individual because they know they're not right with the Lord. They know that that they're going to stand before the righteous judge one day and they've got a lot to give account for. So if you find yourself today being friendly with the world, seeking what this world has to offer above all else, throwing the Lord under the bus, running over him with your desires to get ahead in this life or to have more in this life, then my friend, you need the solution that I'm about to tell you. Now, I don't know one life here except mine. And I can tell you this, I feel like Paul. I fall far short of the mark. I hadn't arrived yet. But one of these days I will. But until then, I'm going to keep, you know, I've got to keep fighting the flesh just like he did. Every step of the way we fight it, tooth and toenail. What's the solution? Look in verse 6. But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Folks, God is willing to give us the grace. His children, he's already received grace in salvation. You've received grace from God because he's allowed you to live this long. He also will give us the grace to change, and he'll give whatever measure of grace that is needed for us to change our lives and get back right with him. What he says, God resisteth the proud. As long as you're walking loud, proud, and tall in yourself and in your own accomplishments, God resists that. I don't know about you, but that seems like that puts us on the wrong side of the fence when we are so proud that even God is resisting the proud. You're not going to be happy. But what does he say? But giveth grace unto the humble. He gives all the grace that we need. Why will he not give it to the proud? Because the proud don't think they need it. It's that humble man who recognizes he can't even walk without the Lord holding his hand. It's the humble man that realizes that he needs the Lord for salvation and he continues to need the Lord for every step of the way after he's been saved. That's the humble man. The proud man that is worldly or living a carnal life, he thinks he's done this all by himself. And he will continue to walk that way. And folks, you ought to find God doesn't help those people that don't feel that he needs it, does he? Or let's put it this way, he doesn't have to. But it's when we humble ourselves, we swallow our pride, and we acknowledge just how weak we are. What did Jesus say in John chapter 15? He says, without me you can do nothing. We've got to humble ourselves and recognize that. Verse 7, what do? He says, submit. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Put the therefore first. Therefore, if you will humble yourselves, then you will submit yourselves. That's a part of humility as well. Submit is a military term meaning to rank under. You've swallowed your pride. You realize you're a nobody without the Lord. So you have taken your rightful spot and you put the Lord back as the king of your heart sitting on the throne of your life. It's humility. It's at that point where we ask God for help. We look to him. Folks, what I'm preaching today, God's not asking you to do on your own. He's not asking you just to put him first on your own. He's willing to help you put him first. He's willing to give you the grace that's needed to make the necessary adjustments. Folks, to put God back on the throne of your life and to seek him first, there may be something that has to be removed from that throne. There may be something in your life that's on the throne of your life that needs to be removed. He will give you the grace to do that, but you've got to humble yourselves and submit to him in order to do that. Now, the old devil's going to do everything he can to keep you worldly. He's going to put more money in front of you. He's going to put a bigger house in front of you. He's going to put, look what he did with David. Poor old David walked up on his back porch at the wrong time, didn't he? The old devil knows how to tempt us. And when that temptation to turn away from the Lord, that temptation to continue to be carnal comes, what does he say? Resist the devil. Resist him. You have to resist him, and it's a choice that you make. And if you will resist him, I'm telling you, it will not be in your own strength. Paul told the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13 that with every temptation, first of all, he said, God will not allow you to be tempted above that which you are able. Now, folks, I think that he's saying there that he don't allow you to be tempted above that which you are able with his help. Because in your own strength, it don't take much temptation to turn you astray, or me, anyone else. So with his help, and that's what he says in the rest of that verse, for with every temptation, God has made a way for you to escape. When the temptation comes, you resist the old devil. You take the Bible out and beat him up with it. You resist the temptation just like Jesus did through the Scriptures. And if you resist him through the Scriptures, he'll run from you. He'll flee from you. But he's not afraid of you by yourself. Humble yourself and submit yourself to the Lord and ask his help with those temptations. You have to resist. Then what does it say? Verse 8. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hand. Let's just stop there. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. You realize drawing near to God is a choice that you make. You have to choose to draw near to God. Every person in this room, including this preacher, are as close to God as they want to be. I want to say that again. Right now, we are as close to God as we want to be. If you want to be closer, bless your heart, you can be. But you're going to be the one that makes the choice to draw near to him. God's exactly the same place he's always been. But I like this verse. He says, if you choose to draw nigh to him, what does it say? He'll reciprocate. You take a step toward him, guess what? He takes a step toward you. The story of the prodigal son kind of shows this. As long as that prodigal son was happy living his worldly life, wallowing around in the hog pen of life, the father stood still right there where the son left him. He kept praying for his son. He kept looking for his son. And when he saw his son coming, when his son finally got tired of living in the carnal life, he returned to the father's house and the father ran out to meet him. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. If we don't turn back to the Lord, we'll just get farther and farther and farther away. And it just works just like the sun and the planets. We should have looked this up. The farthest planet away from the sun is the coldest. The farther you get from God, the colder you become spiritually. And the only way to get warm spiritually is to turn around and draw nigh to God. With his help, you can do that. And then we have the responsibility of cleansing our hands. That means clean up your life. That's what it gives me the idea of. If I come in the house and I'm fixing to eat supper and I've been working on my car and I got oil or grease all over my hands. I don't sit down to eat. I got dirty hands. I was taught better than that. So I'm going to get the Dawn dishwashing liquid, and I'm going to scrub those hands until they're clean. Well, you know what? If I've got things in my life that have dirtied up my life, that are keeping me from being close to God, I need to clean them up, don't I? I need to clean them up. Purify your heart. That means get right with God. Can't serve the Lord in the world. You can't be double-minded, and that's what he says. Get right with the Lord. Quit being double-minded. Quit trying to serve God and mammon. Be single-minded. And folks, he expects your single mind to fall in front of yielding to God, of serving him, of focusing on him. Verse 9, be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. If it takes repentance, then we need to repent. Need to see our life how it is and turn away from it. Recognize the things in our life that are standing between us and God and deal with them. It ought to break our hearts if we've strayed from the Lord. And then verse 10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he shall lift you up. There's the blessing of seeking the Lord, not being in conflict with God. There's a great blessing. Number one, sweet fellowship is restored. Psalm 51 and 10, David said, Lord, restore a right spirit within me. He had lived it. He had committed adultery with Bathsheba a year before this. He had had Uriah killed. The baby that had been born would die. Nathan finally came and David was under conviction. And if you read this one in the 32nd Psalm, David was drying up on the vine. He was getting arthritis. He was just shriveling up. He was a shell of his former self. And he finally asked God to forgive him. He finally stopped living in the world and started living for the Lord again. And he asked him, restore a right spirit within me. Restore that sweet fellowship that we once had. Folks, do you remember any time in your life when you were closer to God than you are now? We ought to desire that. And then another thing, Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. When you are focusing on God, when you are seeking his will, when you are have him on the throne of your life, the throne of your heart, and your life revolves around him, the cares and the worries of this present world are replaced with faith and hope and peace. You see, the things he's talking about there all preceded it in that verse. And it's the food, the clothing, your cars, anything that you have need in order to worship and to serve God will be taken care of. Don't have to worry about them. Eyes on God and not on self or the world, we grow in grace and knowledge. If we have our eyes on God, we will grow spiritually mature. Our prayer life will be powerful. In Romans 5:1, we will have peace with God because we know we're saved and we have security and assurance of that fact. Philippians 4:6-7, we'll have the peace of God because we're right with God. We won't feel like he's angry with us. We'll have the peace with God and the peace of God. Folks, 2022 needs to be a year of renewing our commitment to seek God in humility. Seek his will in everything that we do. Strive to learn more about him. You can't do that outside of reading the Bible and prayer. Focus on God this year. See how it revolutionizes your life. See how it rearranges attitudes. How things that once upon a time seemed to be important all of a sudden are not nearly as important as they once were. Let's focus on God this year. Lost friend, you're not even in the game. But today, if you realize that you are a sinner and lost and in need of the Savior, And that without the Lord, you are doomed to a devil's hell. And will repent of your sin and trust Jesus as your Savior. He'll save you right where you sit. Or you can make your way down this aisle and we'll kneel and pray together. Not one person needs to leave this building without being right with the Lord. Let's leave here focusing on Him, praising His name and worshiping Him.